The heart of the message for me this morning is to share with you some things that God has done in my life over the last few years. I don't know if you're like me, but the past always creeps into the future and the present. It always follows me around. It followed me around forever. And so I'm going to be sharing a little bit like that. First of all, our message today is going to be in John 15. If you want to turn there, I'm going to actually read the message or the scriptures first, and then I'll go into talking about what God has done and has been doing in my life this last year especially. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up and then gathered and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and then your joy may be full. There was a time that in my life, there was a lot of pain and hurt that took place in my early years. Divorced family at 7. Mom moves way across from Iowa to California. Never be heard from her after that. She took my sisters with her. My brother and I stayed with my dad. A new lady moved in with a daughter. My dad said, this is your new mom and your daughter. My mom wrote all the time, but I didn't know that. My dad threw the letters away. We didn't see him because California and Iowa back then were way far away from each other. So I didn't see her forever. So as a 7-year-old boy, I thought, I had no way to process that. So the hurt began early in my life. At the age of 13, there was so much turmoil that I've caused. My dad came and said, you have to leave the house. It's either you or her, and she's not leaving. So at the age of 13, I was on the streets, going house to house, couch surfing, as you would call it, until that person realized Glenn's not going to go home to his family. My friends would usually say, hey, can Glenn stay for a while? He's having trouble at home. Well, the truth was I wasn't going home. So I would go from place to place as soon as they find out. At Christmas time, I would have to go home. Nobody wants a runaway kid in their house at Christmas time. It's a joyful time for your family. So they sent me home. My dad took me in, and that was a couple weeks worth of not very good stuff. I was still going to school, barely in school, always in trouble at school. I was your bully in school because of the hurt that was inside me. At the age of 15, my dad decided that I was in and out of jail so much that it's time to go to a boys' home. So I went to a boys' home, 15 to 17. The hurt inside of me became anger. The hurt inside of me became such hellish to me that I had to move from that to anger. So I was your bully. I did things that weren't supposed to happen and over and over again. And in the boys' home, I learned quite much more. And the pain in all of that continued to follow me. I became a Christian. I got married to my lovely wife here. It'll be like 44 years in January. At the age of 27, God came into my life. We were married 5-6 years, something like that. I was a partier. I worked really hard. I was the kind of guy that came into your party, and I was the life of your party. Glenn's here, and I was the death of your party after the alcohol flew. I would fight at the end, always. She would go home early. I'd come home late, shirts ripped and blood. That's until I was 27. I worked hard, had a job. The weird thing about it is I hated and loved that lifestyle. I loved it. I loved the party scene. I loved all that. I even liked the fights. But yet it was not good for my family. And at 27, I had a one-year-old baby, and a friend of mine came into my life and began to share Jesus with me. I remember the first time we met, I mocked him. My wife's kicking me under the table. Glenn, knock it off. I didn't know what else to say. I didn't understand what he was saying, and that wasn't what I wanted to hear. But anyway, they invited us to a Bible study and began to talk about that night about a father who loves us, who is God, and a father who tries to love us, who is man, and how each one of those has good for us, but not all are the same in the way they go about it. And at that time, I mean, I and my dad were way far. I haven't spoke to my dad by that time for years. Well, we got married. I guess he did come out. It was not a very good scene. I didn't want to go see him. On the inside, I did. On the inside, I wanted my dad. I wanted him from day one all the way here. So as you can see, as I start going through here, I finally had to come to a spot where I looked in a mirror one day, even after all this time, even about off and on, but at least the last couple years, there's something that came up to my throat every time I thought about that stuff. You have something in your life that when you think about something, it comes right up here. It's like you want to just cry. You just want to choke it down. I used to take all that stuff, and I had a ton of it. I would take it and shove it back down in a box and close the lid. Some Christmas time was bad for me, it would come back up. Other times were bad for me, it would come back up. And I would just shove it back down. I would not deal with it. I couldn't handle this, what was going on in my throat and my emotions, and I just couldn't handle that. Men don't cry. Is that right, guys? Men don't cry. I was always taught that. At 14, I locked those up. When I accepted Jesus at 27, the tears flew. They came. They poured out. God began to cleanse me with things, began to read the Bible, regenerate my heart. I began to, there was a time that I had to look into a mirror, and I asked this question. Who am I? Who am I? Even now, as a Christian, for being a Christian for a long time, walking with the Lord, life has changed dramatically for me. I still have this past stuff in me. And I'm tired of going, Lord, why didn't you change this? I thought you changed this in me. Why am I still like this? And you'd be going along and bam, something just gets you again. And I thought, why am I not changed? I stopped and looked in the mirror. Have you looked in the mirror longer than putting on your makeup? Longer than combing your hair or shaving your face? Try it. Try to do it for 3 minutes and ask yourself, as you're looking at your eyes, your face, your emotions, who are you? Who am I? God began to run this through me this last year, and I've got a journal that I started, and the journal had to take me back. God took me back to the age of 7 and then the age of 13. He did this for a reason. He wants us to come to him like little children. What child do I want to come to him as? As I began to look and go through my life and looking through the mirrors and the hurts and stuff that I had in my life, what ended up happening is that as I began to think about this 7-year-old boy, I felt God was asking me to say, who is this boy? Tell me about him. What is this emotion? What is this? What's going on with him? So I got out some pictures of a 7-year-old boy and a 13-year-old boy. The 7-year-old boy was happy. His eyes were bright. He had a smile on his face. He was at a birthday party that his mom had made cupcakes, and he had a girlfriend at 7 with his arm around her, and they were both smiling. I can remember that. than the 13-year-old. Hard, not looking, kind of tilted. And God is saying, the 7-year-old boy has to come back. Every time, all my life, that 7-year-old got disappeared and stampled on. And the 13-year-old boy, he began to come. And everything that happened in my life happened because of him and what he felt and what has happened to him. I had to do that. I've got the name of my story. I forgot to tell you what that is. It's going to be next. So this is what I write down. This is what I put. Why do we hold on to what we should let go of, and we let go of the things we should hold on to? Have you ever felt like this guy? Oh, my gosh. Why am I doing this stuff? Why am I hanging on to this stuff? God has promised me way more, and I'm still hanging on. But if I let go, what's going to happen? He'll be okay if he lets go. You know what he's in. He'll be okay. There might even be a parent down at the bottom, scared to death. That's the kid that I've been for a long time. I would say, God, I know that I have to let go of the past. I know I have to let go of the hurt. I know I have left to go of the disappointments. I know I have to kick this stuff down the road, but I don't want to. It's like if I offered you a $10 bill right now, who wants a $10 bill? I got it here somewhere, right? Oh, got some hands growing. It's like if I would offer you this $10 bill and I say, come and get it. And you came up to get it, and I would go like this, here, take it. Have you done that to God? Have you said, God, take this stuff from me? Take this addiction, take this thoughts, take this stuff that's going on in my life. Take this hurt, these disappointed, loss of jobs, loss of people in my life. Take this away from me. And I would do this, and I'd put it right back into my box. This is what God has been dealing with me forever. I would give him a lot of stuff and take it back. Give him a lot of stuff and take it back. And eventually some of that stuff did go away. It did. But then there's this stuff that sticks there that when you even think about it, it just comes right up and get a hold of me. Where are you at with some of that stuff? We've got some answers. But again, I don't want to be that preacher that says, just do this and everything will be all right. Because I've done it all. And it's not all right all the time. Does it take away what happened when we do that? No, we still, these things happen to us. This is history for it. Don't wipe your history out. But there's hurts and stuff that God wants to say, this stuff is holding you back. It's holding you way back. And so then begins the new thing that he's beginning to hang on to for me. Let's go to the next scripture. We just read this, but say, I am the vine, the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Can we go to the next picture? So I don't know, you guys are farmers here. How many got fruit trees? Okay. And do you prune your fruit tree? There's a reason for that, isn't there? All this stuff that's up on top right here, if you let that grow, it's going to allow your fruit not to produce the best fruit that you can get. It takes away, it suckers, it takes away the energy, it takes away everything that it takes for these apples to be their best that they can be. Is it part of the tree? Absolutely. I've got stuff in my life that God wants to prune, even some good stuff. By the way, we can let that grow, and no apples will grow on that. You'll have some little more apples, but your whole produce is going to be small because you got way more stuff that the energy's got to go to. God has asked me not only to take care of my past, but also stuff in my present. I'm involved in some good stuff that takes away from what God has called me to do in my life. With my family, with my friends, with campus life, whatever it is, I've got to focus on what he did. But if I got this stuff going on, it's taken away. what happens, let's go to the next one. So what happens that if you do the right job, you're going to get yourself a harvest. And the harvest will be plentiful, and the harvest will be the most that they can get from that tree that year. Now, harvest goes up and down depending on the weather, depending on the soil, depending on the whatever. I understand that. But to get the best you can for that year, we must prune some stuff. What is God asking you to prune? What is some stuff that's hanging there with you? You know he's asked you to give up. He knows that he's asked you to prune. You know that he's saying, stop this. What is that? What is that? And don't be like me and go, yes, God, I know. I know, but I'm busy. I can't prune today. I can't prune next week, actually. And so when harvest time comes on certain issues, it's like you're not ready. You're not ready for what God has planned for your life. You're not ready to go after the thing that God has asked you to go after because you have got stuff that got interfered with what he's asked you. Now, that's the good stuff. The bad stuff, he wants to take off and burn like my past. Those hurtful feelings, he wants to switch around and be able to use those things for what I'm doing now. What is it for you? Is there a couple more there? This year we had 500 pounds of apples off of one tree. Well, 1.5 trees. 500 pounds this year. It was amazing. And they were on there like grapes. Normally we actually pull off so that one, they would get more bigger or better. But they weren't. They were hanging by grapes. They were like, those apples are this big. And there are literally 4 or 5 of them on these branches that we were picking. And they were just amazing. God wants to do that for us. It says here to bear more fruit, right? Prune some more fruitful so you can be more fruitful. God wants to do that in our life. So how do we do that? So how do we get pruned? Let's read John 15. There's some more of that. That day we made cider of it too. Don't worry, it was no hard cider. I couldn't talk my wife into make hard cider, so no. Let's go to the next one. So here it is. We got abide in me, and you abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. Our minds and hearts. Is that where we're at? Yeah. I am the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, and I in you. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. I was at a spot in my life I wasn't bearing much fruit. Here's why. I was looking at the past. I was always looking at the past. And you know what does when we always bring and look at the past? The past goes to you to the present, and it also goes to you within the future. I have people who say, in the future, I'm going to do this and be this and have this and do this. But they're not doing anything in the present because they're so worried about the past. I have people that talk about the past this and the past that, and this has happened to me, and all this stuff. I lost my job. I'm disappointed in this. And this person does that to me, and always blame it on somebody else. In their present, they're looking at the past and talking about it. Just look at Facebook. It's all about what happened to them. Instead of what God is doing in their life now and preparation for the future. When I get rid of this, I'm going to do this in the future, 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 right? But you're never there because you're always bringing the past with you. So we got another picture. Does that feel like you sometimes? Feels like me. Jeremiah talks about, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And by the way, this scripture was given from Jeremiah about the children of God who were going in captivity for the next 75 years. And we just take this out and just throw it in here like I am. But he was talking about a whole bunch of people heading off to captivity, slavery. If you read the rest and then like the next couple of verses, he's telling them, I want you to pray and do and work for the cities to make them prosperous, because if they're prosperous, you will be prosperous. So God is setting them up and telling them, don't worry, I'm going to be with you because I still have a future for you guys. 75 years? I'm worried about tomorrow. But we have a God who cares for us. So those, that scripture also works with us today, because God has a future for us. He has plans for us. He's got a future for us. But we live in the past. I live in the past. And God has begun to take care of that this year. I'm telling you what, I wouldn't have been able to talk about my childhood here without tearing up and choking up. And it didn't happen today. Why? I know it happened. God has taken the emotions out, so it's the emotions and the hurt that stays with us that sucks out like those suckers. It sucks out your energy for not doing what God has called me to do today. Today. Because he still has plans in the future, but the future has to do with what we're doing today. And if we're not doing what he wants today, we're always going to be in this situation all the time if we're carrying the past with us. And it'll never get better. We're always looking for the future. But if you cut that off and begin to do what God wants you to do in your life, then you'll see a total difference. So I'm going to ask you, Sefer, we're going to go to, what is he talking about fruit? What fruit is he talking about? We will bear much fruit. There's lots of things. Lots of things that means. Your character will change, godly. If you spend time with God on a regular basis, your character should be changing, because we become more like it. We're abiding in him each day or each week or however you want to do that. But on a consistent basis somewhere, your character begins to change more godly, because you're abiding in him, you're listening to him, you're seeing what the scripture has to say, and this is for you. This is for you and me. There's another way, and we go, this is what the scripture is usually used for. It's usually used for outreach. It's usually used for going to all the world and present the gospel. Well, I don't believe everybody does that, and I don't know if everybody's called to do that. I am called to do that. And if you don't know Jesus today in here, I'd love to sit down and talk to you about it. I'd love to sit down and talk to you about his salvation for us, for our sins, and died on the cross for us, and the Holy Spirit that works in my life today because of what he did on the cross for me. There's no way I could have made it to heaven. I couldn't buy myself, and I know I'm not good enough. I know my thoughts will never get me there. I know I don't help enough women across the street to get across the street. That's not going to help me out to get to heaven. It's only what Jesus did, only what he did. And what did he do? He died for you and for me. So our sins will be totally forgiven, so that he took on that whole punishment for us. So when the Father sees us, we are clean. We are no sin no more. Do we still sin? Absolutely. But he died for my past, present, future sins. Here's some of the other fruit. It's in Galatians chapter 5. Do we have it on there? Well, we got that kind of. It's talking about here when you're in Christ. Actually, let me go to the extra scripture and read it. But the fruit of the, so it's talking about when you're not in the Spirit of God, before that, by the way, all the things that we were before that, I was a lot of those things. A lot of those things were in the deeds of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger was me for sure, disputes for me for sure, dissensions, fractions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, which I forewarn you against, that those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That was in the flesh, that I was almost all those things. Now here's what we are in the flesh. The fruits of the Spirit are this: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Guys, we are in the Spirit. And if you still have trouble with the other stuff, which we do, be connected with Jesus. Be connected on a regular basis. He'll begin to take that stuff away from you. He'll begin to give you a new look of life of yourself. When you look in the mirror now and say, who am I? You can say, I'm a child of God. And the past does not have an effect on me. You can look in the mirror and say, I know what I'm about today. And you can look in the mirror and say, thank God, God has a future for me. And hopefully my grandkids. I work with third generation removed from church kids. They don't go to church. Their parents don't go to church. And their grandparents don't go to church. We have, at this last year, I do Springfield now, middle schools. I have 100 plus middle school kids coming on a regular basis to anything we do. They don't know Jesus. We've had over 30 kids come to know Jesus, 20 kids in churches now, and about 4 parents that are actually going because their kids are going to church. Because we are focused and targeting in such a way that we bring the love of Jesus that's in my life, in my staff's life, and our hurts that we've had in the past to their hurts that they have today. These kids are hurting. I've got drug-addicted parents. I got a lot of kids living in cars. And there are a lot of hurts that go on in their lives. If I continue to have the past hang in there, which I did up until recently, I did not do what God has called me to do with all the fruit that I could give it. What has He called you to do? Talk to your neighbor. Talk to your coworker. Share the hurts that you have in your life, but how God has changed you. People are so afraid to do that. I don't talk to them about religious things. I talk about life stuff. Life. God changed. I was there. I know what you're talking about. Let me check. I was there. You were there. What has God asked you to do? What ministry has He asked you to do? What fruit is coming out of you that He's going to use it? Because it's for Him, right? This fruit is for us, but it's really for Him. There's a day you're going to be off this earth. I think about this all the time. What am I doing now that's going to change somebody's life today? Because tomorrow I could die. So, what are you holding on to that you should let go of? And why are you letting go of the things that you should hold on to? Because I was holding on to the past. I was letting go of some time that I needed to spend with God and with kids. What about you? Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you what you're doing in my life even today. Thank you that you're using me for to be able to spend time with kids and help them with them, Lord. And God, I pray for this congregation right here, the people in here. Lord, you have called them. You've called them to walk with you. You've called them for a purpose. What is their purpose? If they don't know, Lord, speak to their hearts. What is their purpose? And God, I pray that as they do that, that if they need a friend or help or someone, Lord, you bring that person into their lives to be able to help share and guide and direct and pray for them. Thanks for this church, Lord. I just pray for growth. I pray for spiritual growth. I pray, Lord God, for the fruits of the Spirit to come out mightily in this congregation, and you would grow it, that people would want to come because of the people that are here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.